All right. I want you to start tonight. We are not going to be in the book of Revelation. That's pastor's doing that, so we're not going to touch any of that tonight. But I want you to go to Genesis chapter 1. That shouldn't be too difficult to find. And I want to look at just a couple things. Actually, if I can get to four of them tonight, that would be a major miracle. But miracles have happened before, aren't they? I want to look at just a simple thought tonight, and it was a question that was asked to me. And the question was this: how do you deal with darkness? You say, what is that? What is it? What does that mean? How do I deal with the night? The night's the night. Yeah. No, let's take it just a little bit further then, and we're going to look at even what God called the night and what He called the day. But how do you deal when evil comes across your threshold? And if it hasn't yet, it will. It will. And I can tell you from 40 years of experience being here, and we won't go into any of it, but there's been multiple times, and I do say multiple times, and you probably didn't even know it. There's been multiple times in 40 years that evil has walked through that back door. Okay? There's been multiple times where evil walked through that back door and sat down and stayed here a long, long time. And then all of a sudden just reared its evil head and decided that it was going to bring darkness into this congregation. And I want to look at that, because it's a valid question. It was a question that was put to me, and I answered it as best as I could, briefly. And Paul would say in the book of Romans, when I would do good, evil is present with me. So you're not going to get away from evil. And you're not going to get away from the darkness. From probably, if you're going to look at a time scale, from the from the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the night. That's what Paul would say. Paul would say the night is far spent. The day is at hand. All right. And if you look at what we're going to look at tonight, we've lived in a part of, let's call it a 24-hour period. We've lived the last 2,000 years in what really the writers, especially Paul, would call the nighttime. All right, that's why Jesus Christ told his disciples. Jesus in John, I think it's John, I won't say 9, but I'm probably wrong there. But he said, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." But he also said this back in Matthew. He looked at his disciples in the context of that thought back in Matthew, and he looked at them and said, "Ye are the light of the world." Because you see, Jesus Christ physically is not here. That was his statement. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, physically, he's not here. Now, we're going to look at some verses, the Lord willing, and we know that Jesus Christ has likened himself unto the light. He is the light. He's likened the Word of God unto the light. He's said that you and I, we are the light of the world. So we're in this place, and the thing that I know is this: there are four watches in the night. The Jewish day ended really at 6 p.m., all right, or started, however you want to say that. But from 6 to 9, you had one watch. And then from 9 to 12, you had another watch. And then from 12 to 3, you had another watch, the third watch. And from 3 to 6, that gave you the 12 hours of the night, you had the final watch. And this is what I know from reading the Bible. You and I right now, anybody will tell you it is darkest before the dawn. All right? So from 3 to 6, doesn't seem that way sometimes, but from 3 to 6, in the last watch, is going to be the darkest. Now, we've become convinced, without putting dates or any of that kind of stuff on it, that we, the church, those of us who are saved, the body, this isn't, you know, the building's not the body of Christ, you're the body of Christ. You're also called the bride of Christ. But you and I who are saved, it's got nothing to do with denominations, so if you're a new Christian here, many things are labeled Christian that if you just read your Bible, you will realize they're not Christian. Okay, and that's a message for a different time. But point being made is this. God's right before the dawn, right before the light is ready to break through, right before the sunrise. They tell me that from 3 to 6, it's the darkest. And we're at a point where all you've got to do is just pay attention to the world. Do you know the world's in a mess? Baltimore's in a mess. It's not funny, but they're in a mess. All right. They were in a mess back, 60s, something like that. We lived in Cleveland, Ohio. There was the HUD riots and in the 60s. It's not a new thing. But here's, and we're going to get into darkness, but if you go back into the story of Noah, early chapters of Genesis, you go back into the story of Noah, and Noah builds this ark under the direction of God, and there's eight people that get into it, all right? He's got he and his wife, and he's got his three sons, and they've got their three daughters, or their three wives, rather, and they get into the ark, and nobody else gets into the ark. But if you go back and look at that story, and the Bible would say in the Gospels, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. And you know what you find twice in that storyline? You find God, because a lot of times we'll talk about, okay, they were marrying, they were given in marriage. And we think about a lot of things that, okay, they were doing, most of them not good, because God had Noah build that ark, all right, preacher of righteousness. And you piece scriptures together somewhere for 120 years, he builds that ark. But twice you'll find that God said violence filled the land. Violence. And if you look across the globe today, there's a darkness. Now, I want to try to answer that question that man asked me. How do you deal with the darkness? How do you deal with darkness that comes into your family? How do you deal with that? How do you deal? I've already told you, most of you, and you won't, it's not important that we regurgitate information over the past 40 years. But there's been darkness walk into those doors and plant itself where it could have planted itself in the front row, could have planted itself in the middle, could have planted itself in the back. But this man asked me, how do I deal with the darkness? Because he's in a position right now where darkness has entered his church. And it's a very serious darkness. And it's a darkness that's being dealt with. But how do I, as the individual? Now, psychology gives you a principle that's a very common principle. You'll recognize it when I say it. It's called the fight or flight syndrome. All right. Now, truth be told, most people will flee when problems arise. That's why when famine in the Word of God, they move to Egypt. It's an unusual individual who will say, I am going to fight the darkness. I'm going to stay put. It's coming. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm an ultra. You know, I'm a romantic at heart. You don't believe that, but I am. My wife, she gets this sober look every time I say it. It's like, who's he lying to? He's lying from the pulpit again. I'm a romantic at heart, but in practice, I'm a realist. Because when God seems to be doing something, don't ever think the devil is sleeping on the back row. Because he's not. Okay. Now, I'm not negative on anybody, on anything in life. As a matter of fact, I'm pro-positive. I'm not anti-devil. I'm not anti-devil. I'm pro-God. All right. But you have to get yourself ready for the darkness. Because it's going to come. It's going to come. And you're not going to expect it. I've got you in Genesis chapter 1. I just want to read the first five verses and then make a few comments and then go to some other verses. But I'm amazed and should not be surprised what God deals with initially in the ministry. This is God's ministry, by the way, here. All right. This is God's work. He says, and if you could come to deal with, and I think there's 10 words, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. If you can deal with these first 10 words and believe the first 10 words of the Bible, you'll never have any problem with anything else in life. If you can believe in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now you believe that and you'll not have any other problem believing anything else in the Bible. That's what God said He did. And we're not going to get into creation and evolution. But something happened between verse 1 and verse 2. Commonly it became called the gap theory. And there's no theory to it. And it really isn't a gap, all right? But something did happen. Because I can take you into other portions of the Scripture where we're going to read verse number 2. And I can take you to verses that say God didn't create the earth void. He didn't create it void. He didn't create it without form. He created it to be inhabited. And yet, in verse number 2, it says, and the earth was without form and void. And I haven't even gone two verses. And you know what I find? Darkness. I hope you're not bringing darkness into your life. You say, tell me what darkness is. Read your Bible. Find out for yourself. You don't want me to spoon-feed you all your life, do you? Come on now. But we've gone two verses. And the great God who said, who would later on in another verse said, let there be light. That great God, we haven't gone two verses. And He's dealing with darkness. If He had to deal with darkness in the second verse, you and I are going to deal with darkness. You're going to have to deal with it. All right? Now, you're going to have to make a choice. I've made my choice. Okay? And it's not an easy choice. And I wake up every morning and I have to remake the choice. Because nobody's a water walker around here. Okay? Nobody's got wings on the back of their shoulders, male or female. All right? We're not cherubim, seraphim, angels. We're mortals, humans, that God chose to save and put Himself inside of. So the choice has to be a choice you make every day. And I told that man when he asked me that, how do you deal with darkness? And one of the things, I went to Jeremiah, I think it's chapter 20, and I said, you know, I came to a place in my life where I decided that the most important thing in my life was the Word of God. My wife wasn't most important. Sorry, ladies. But my wife knows that. She's not the most important thing. She's number two. Okay. She's the queen. All right. But I don't worship the queen. I worship the king. All right. Now, I know some of you ladies don't like it when I say that, but I'm going to tell you right up front, I don't care. But I got to a point where I said, you know what? And I called him by name and I said, I determined in my life that I was going to get this book into my mind and then have it drizzle down into my heart. Wherever that might be. We always do this. I don't know why. But have it drizzle down into my heart and then pray that God would take it from my mind, from my heart. And as Jeremiah wrote, he said, I was weary with forbearing. Your word was in my bones, where the blood is at. And I could not stay. That means I couldn't quit. Because the darkness is coming. It's coming. It's around the corner. Better watch for it. You say, you're trying to scare me? I wish I could. I wish I had that capability to scare the hell out of everybody. That'd be a good capability. That'd be a good one. If I could just walk up to somebody and scare the hell right out of them. Because God sometimes scares the hell out of me. God hasn't gone two verses and he's got to deal with darkness. Now look how he does this. We're going to look at let the light disperse the darkness. Do you know how to disperse the darkness? Well, let's see how God dealt with the darkness. Because he had to deal with the darkness. And we know what that darkness was. That darkness sat in his church. That darkness had a place of authority. Think about it. You say, are you intimidating? Are you intimating anything tonight? No, I'm just reading because we know what that darkness was. All right. Prior to being that darkness, he was called the angel of light. He was called the light bearer. But he made a bad decision, and it's going to cost him everything. And he's on a short chain. But he says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So what is God going to do? Is God going to run? When things go wrong in your life, Christian, member of First Bible Church, when things go wrong in your life, I mean really, really, really go wrong. I'm not talking about something small. I'm not talking about I sprained my ankle. I'm not even talking about cancer. I'm talking about when something really, really, really goes wrong in your life. What are you going to do? Well, you're either going to flight or fight. You're either going to get this book in you and let it change you and put some strength in your backbone, even when it's old. All right. But you know how God dealt with it? It says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. We know these verses by heart. Do you know how God dealt with the darkness? He created the light. Do you know what you have in your hands tonight? You have the light. You have the light. When that person asked me that question, how do you deal with the darkness? My mind immediately went to the book of Romans where it talks about overcome evil with good. But the only way you're going to get through the darkness is you better know the light. You better have the light. You better have it. You know what? I was going to do it tonight, but I thought the neighborhood would think we're more of a cult than what they think we are. I was going to bring my mag flashlight, you know, about as long as my arm. But it's got this big bright light to it. All right, just a little thing, really. I'm going to shut off all the lights and just go and stand in the middle. Do you know it doesn't take a lot of light to dispel the darkness? You don't need this whole book to dispel the darkness. Get yourself about 5 or 6 good verses. That's all you need. If you've been saved over a year, if you don't have five or six good verses, you better get five or six good verses. Why are we doing what we're doing? I love listening to my pastor. I would rather listen to him than preach myself. I just love to listen to him and some of the other guys in this place. But you know what? This is more than just, well, I come to church and I get a good message. Because the darkness is going to hit your life. And you're going to fall apart if you don't have the light. You are. And there's not a thing that the pastor, me, or anybody else is going to be able to do to help you. Because you didn't get enough light in you. You didn't know where to go. And you don't have to be a theologian. You don't have to be saved 50 years. You know, all you've got to say is, okay, you want to know something? Tell me where about 10 good verses are in the Bible. Simple verses, not big ones. And write them down. Write them down. You write things down, don't you? Sure you do. Get yourself a little pen, whatever. You know, that's a pen, by the way. I know you guys got computers. I don't have a computer. I have a pen. You forgot what a pen is, didn't you? All right. Well, get yourself a pen and a piece of paper. Now, you think I'm nuts. I know some of you. I look at your faces. And you think, oh, God, please come back, Pastor Mike. Come back. He will. Don't worry about it. But I do know a few things. I've been at this a long time. You know what's kept... I said that to that young man. I said, you know what's kept me alive? The book. God's people have not kept me alive. I love them, but they haven't kept me alive. The local church, I love it. Work in it. Love it to death. But it hasn't kept me alive. It's what they're all centered around. It's the book that has kept me alive. So when the darkness sets in, I want to know, God, how do I deal with this darkness? You do the same thing that God did. You take the Spirit of God that lives within you, Christian, and you take the light, he said, and God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God divided, we'll get into that in a moment. God divided, that's actually my second point. God divided, but we're not going to go there yet. Can I take you to Exodus chapter 10? Exodus chapter 10. Man, everything's going good in life. Everything is just swell. Oh, it's just wonderful. Man, you wake up with a song, you go to bed with a song, and you just keep, and you're singing all day long, and then all of a sudden, the darkness comes out, comes up, and goes, oop. And in a moment, you know it. In a moment, your song stops. It can happen. It's happened to you. Some of you, it's happened. I'm not going to embarrass anybody by giving me a raise of hands. I can tell you what, it's happened to Pat and Debbie Dean multiple times over the 40 years we've been here, and even prior to that. And you have to make a choice. Because it's just not going to go away. And Paul said, when I would do good, it's good to do good. I like doing good. I do. I really do. I know you think I'm lying, but I like to do good. But Paul said, when I would do good, evil is present with me. Oh, get away from me, evil. Get away from... No, no, no. Evil comes and stands right beside you. What are you going to do? Well, you better get enough of that book in you. Look at Exodus chapter 10. I got you in Exodus chapter 10. Now, we're prior to Exodus chapter 12. That's kind of an obvious. And Exodus chapter 12 is the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. And it's the Passover. All right, a lamb, the lamb, and your lamb. All right, but here in Exodus chapter 12, or 10, excuse me, Exodus chapter 10, and I want you to go to verse number 21. Exodus chapter 10, verse 21. Now, God, through Moses and Aaron, is dealing with Pharaoh. All right, dealing with Pharaoh. And this is... I have a heading in my Bible, says the ninth judgment, the 12th miracle, but let's just read it and see what happens here. Because you see, We're going to find out, because the next point I was going to get into, and I will, God's a divider. God's a divider. Now don't take that to such an extreme that the world takes it to, all right? We're not into all the divisions that the world thinks Christians are in, okay, because they're not biblical. But God does divide things. But look at Exodus chapter 10 and look at verse 21. Because I want to... Our thought is this thing of God dispersing the light. God's going to disperse the light. Excuse me. God's going to disperse the darkness through light. I wish I had done it now, but again, go home tonight and just deliberately, don't turn any lights on when you walk in your house. Or if you've got them on, turn them off. And find your flashlight. Just like there was a storm, Hurricane Sandy, all over again. And everything's black. And you stand in the middle of that downstairs area, ours is kind of open, stand in it with just one flashlight, and just point it towards the ceiling. You know what you'll do? You'll light up the room. And it just took one small little light bulb. You know what Staten Island needs? It needs the light. You know what Baltimore needs? It needs the light. You know what Iran needs? It needs the light. You know what Israel needs? It needs the light. You know what the world needs? It needs the light. That's the only reason. Folks, that's the only reason. You ask Brother Emil and the rest of the guys and ladies who work so hard in the shop and outside the shop. Do you know why we spend a lot of money doing that? Firstly, that's a lot of work. And secondly, it's a heck of a lot of money. Okay? Do you know why we do that? Because we're convinced New York City needs the light. The light. That's why we've been left here. That's why Jesus Christ left those disciples. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. But I'm going to leave, John chapter 14. But I'm going to give you another comforter, chapter 15, chapter 16 of John. I'm going to give you another comforter, just like me. And the Spirit of God's going to live within you. And you're going to have the light live inside you. You're going to be a vessel. Exodus chapter 10, verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. 23. They saw not one another. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Now, I really don't know how to explain all that, but that's what my Bible... Once again, I've come to grips with the first 10 words in the Bible. In the beginning, God... I've come to grips with that. You see, you come to grips with some small little principles in the Word of God. You come to grips with the first 10 words in Holy Writ, and you won't have any problem, even though you might not understand how that happened, believing that. But you know what I've come to realize? God said, let the light disperse the darkness. Do you know why Israel didn't have the darkness? Because they had, the Bible says it, there was light in their houses. How about going to chapter 14 and verse number 20? Chapter 14 and verse number 20. Now, you have the journeying here. This is chapter 14. The 12 again was your Passover. And if you go up, just reading like verse number 17 says, and I behold, And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his hosts, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, whom I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Angel of the Lord in 19, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. So that pillar of cloud in the daytime that was before them leaving them, now it has gone behind them, so it is separating them from the Egyptian army. And it came between the camp in 20 of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud. Now watch this. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. You're holding a book in your hand that gives... It is a book that has to be... It's the only book in the world. It's the only book that's ever been written that must be dealt with by faith. You don't have to have faith to read Chaucer. You don't have to have faith to read Shakespeare. You don't have to... all the philosophers, you don't have to have faith. The Bible is the only book that renders its light when my heart attitude accepts it by faith. It's a very strange book. Because the Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, their foolishness. You could take this book and go out there to every one of my neighbors and say, would you just read this verse? Let me just read John 3:16. A very simple verse. That's the gospel in a nutshell. That's preschool, okay, if you're saved tonight. Just you memorize. John 3:16, that's where you need to start. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, now, when we read that, man, it just jumps off the page and comes alive to us. But you take that verse, and you go out there to my neighbors, every one of them, you knock on that door, and you say, okay, call them by name, you read that verse, tell me what it means to you. And I can tell you for sure, you know what's going to happen. Duh. Firstly, they're probably going to throw you off. Same thing that when he was about 30 to 35 got him into trouble, a naked woman on a rooftop. The same thing was given to him at the age of 70, and when he was full of disease and cold, and the same thing crawled up into his bosom and couldn't get him warm. By the way, that might tell you something about sin. Okay? It may be working for you when you're 35. There's pleasure in sin for a season, and the seasons are short. So the next time you and I decide to just get into something that we're not supposed to get into, kind of keep something in mind. Look at the long haul of the thing. I know a man who did something not too long ago, did something that he's going to spend the next 30 years in prison for. Investigated it and can't find another mistake that the man ever did. But he's got so many counts against him that by law he doesn't get 30 years. Psalm 119, look at verse number 105. Psalm 119, 105. How do you dispel the darkness? When the darkness knocks on your door, when the darkness just decides it's going to take residence on your front porch and just sit there for a while, because it will. And you'll continue to love the Lord, but you will just, you'll be fighting that darkness. And you'll come to church, and you'll try to get, but you'll fight. How do you get through that darkness? Look at Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Look at 130. Same chapter, look at verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Why do we go through the why do we go through the efforts that we go through around here? Because you want to know something? This book is light. I'm not light. Mike Beach, he's not light. You're not light. Okay, we have light in us. But you know where that light originates? This book is light. That's why when I jokingly say, back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 1 again. I love life, I do. I love it as much as I possibly can. But here's what I came to realize a long time ago. There's got to be something better than this. Because a lot of this just doesn't make any sense. Man works 40, 50 years on a job and retires in pretty decent health, and all of a sudden he's retired for 1 year and he gets cancer and dies. Doesn't make any sense. My daddy retired, and about 3 months after he retired, my mama took a stroke. Doesn't make any sense. 6 years later, she dies from her second stroke. She's 66 and daddy's 70. It's like, does that make any sense? They finally got to where they could enjoy life. Kids were gone, the house is paid for, car's still running, the dog was a pain in the neck from the beginning, but it's like they got to where they could enjoy life. They could go out to eat whenever they wanted to because he had his pension and they had his social security happened.
And they had this and they had that. They had everything that there was nice. And all of a sudden, I mean, no more. 2 years after Daddy retires, all of a sudden, Mama takes a stroke. And I sat there and said, God, I think they deserve to pass. But you want to know something? It doesn't work that way. So you know where you better get, folks? Young people, you listen to me. You know what you better get? There's something much better than what we got here. Don't worry about your house. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about your car. Don't worry about your prestige. Don't worry about your reputation. There's something far better ahead of us.
Amen.
You better learn to love it. You better believe it's real. It's the only thing that keeps me sane.
Amen, bro.
Amen.
It's the only thing. You can ask my wife. I can be, you talk about a junkyard dog, I can be like a wild ass sometimes. It's the only thing that keeps me sane. Y'all do something better than this. That's why I got saved. I looked at it and said, there's got to be something better. That preacher said, of course there is. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Back to Genesis chapter. God's going to dispense disperse the darkness. You know how he's going to do it? He's going to do it with light. But you know what he also does? And we read it in verse number 4. He created that light. But then he said, and God divided the light. God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. We'll talk about that in a minute. Evening and the morning were the first day. You know, my second point is, you got to let the light divide you from the darkness. Let me take you, you know, that's not a popular message today. I don't know if it's ever been a popular message, but I know for sure today. That's not a popular message. Let the light divide the darkness out of your life. Can I take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 6? I'm going to go to a place. As you're turning, you know probably where I'm going. Maybe you don't, but it's not a well-received portion of Scripture. Because it's a portion of Scripture that in the 21st century Christian, we sometimes think that when God talks about separation, when God talks about dividing the light from the darkness, somehow we have it in our minds that that means isolation. That means you find a commune somewhere. Everybody wears the same clothes, and you never go out in public. No, that's not what that means. And I've said this frequently. This is not isolation. This is insulation. This is getting enough of the Bible in you that you can recognize, because sometimes the darkness is a little tricky. Do you remember when Satan talked to Eve? That was darkness. She didn't see the darkness. She didn't see it. Now she should have, and we can either blame her or we can blame Adam. We can blame both of them. We can blame the devil. Blame God. You know, blame the old blame game. But without this light in me, I'm never going. Without this light, having a knowledge of it. And please, don't you ever bring this up and say, well, you're a pastor, you should be. Listen, I've been reading my Bible when I worked in a steel mill. I was reading my Bible when I worked in another little factory. I was reading my Bible when I worked making special decorator lamps for restaurants when I was in college. And I worked for a place that was like a Target for a while. I worked for trucking companies. But here's what I don't know why God gave me this desire, but it was like, I want to know what this book says. And I got around good people who encouraged. You know what the blessing of this place is? There's a lot of blessings in this place. But you know one of the big blessings? Don't fall asleep on me. You know what one of the big blessings of this place is? You are constantly encouraged to read your Bible. Read it. Read it. Read it. I don't have a college education, but I can read. You don't need to be intellectual. It's not an intellectual book, even though it is. Go to 2 Corinthians. Insulate yourself. Insulate yourself to the point where you're going to recognize the darkness. Do you know why we don't have hundreds of people? You know why we've never had to build a bigger footprint than what we've got? I'll tell you one of the reasons. Firstly, we preach the Bible. Okay, we're not interested in entertaining you. Secondly, we don't get into contemporary music. Thirdly, we don't have a traditional service and a contemporary service. That's down the road, by the way, if you want that. But you know what the other thing that I had a man years ago, you know, lived in a neighborhood, and he came here initially. He said, when I come here, I get convicted all the time. I said, well, that's good. Me too. You know, he said, I get convicted that this Bible is just, you know, it's supposed to clean me up. Yeah, me too. You see, that doesn't bother me anymore. Because I'm going to be honest with you. I knew I was dirty to begin with. See, I've never had any problem knowing I was dirty. Dirty, dirty little piggy. All right? You too. Some of you pretty ladies in here tonight, you're just dirty little piggies. Come on now. Come on. I know you're pretty. You're a pretty dirty little piggy. Okay? But you know what the Bible does? The Bible will clean you up. If you let it. If you let it. But some of you don't want to get clean. And that's why you're just miserable. And that's why you're so bristly to talk to. And that's why it's like every time I watch your faces. Every time I preach. Oh, it's fun. You just can't wait till I stop. Well, I got news for you. I can't wait till I stop most of the time. Because I'm just full of conviction. I'm just convicting myself. And it's like I'm beating myself to death. Let me just say amen and quit. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at verse 11. Yeah. It's good to laugh. I like to laugh. I love to hear you laugh. I try to be serious. I'm just serious to the bone most of the time. But it's good to laugh. This is good to laugh. But there's some things in the Bible I just can't laugh at. I just can't laugh at it. It's because it's too convicting. It's like, Lord, I said this a couple Sundays ago. I'll probably say it again this coming Sunday. I'm in the pulpit again. But it's like, you know what? I'm getting convicted that I need to clean my life up. I need to clean up. I'm dirty. I need to get clean. Because the marriage is just about ready to happen. When's the last time you saw a bride with a dirty dress walk into the chapel, all right? Walk into the main auditorium. No, that bride looks like dynamite, man. Killer. You know, hair all done up, makeup just right, dress looks wonderful. No dirt anywhere, man. Well, that's the way we're supposed to be. The marriage is just about ready to happen. You see, we're just betrothed right now. Look at verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels, all right? Convicted in your own bowels. Now, for a recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be you also enlarged. Now, this is this is not a popular portion. This is 21st century Christians do not like these verses. But as I've jokingly said, folks, I didn't write the Bible, but I do read it. Now, you take it for what you want, But I'm going to try to take it correctly. I'm going to try to do something with it. Look at verse number 14, because there's a word that's going to pop out. Be ye not unequally yoked. Notice it doesn't say be isolated from. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, so now we're in the fellowship, hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion, here we are, and what communion hath light, Christian, with darkness, non-Christian? You say, what the heck does that mean, Pastor? I'll tell you what you do tonight. Come on, you First Bible Church members who think you're smarter than God. You get on your hands and knees and you pray over that one. I didn't say isolation. But some of us are walking way too close to the darkness. Me. We can talk about revival all we want. You don't preach in revival, shouldn't say that. Do you know where revival comes from? It doesn't come from good singing. And I'm going to tell you, revival doesn't come in from good preaching. You know where revival comes in? Once the people decide to get clean. That's when revival sets in. About ready to leave, folks. I've determined in my heart, I'm probably not going to have another different message for the rest of my duration as on planet Earth. Because I get an innate sense, we're leaving. I could leave before you, or you could leave before me. But one way or the other, we're leaving. It's time to get clean. He says, "What concord hath Christ with Belial?" Now he just went from light to darkness. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. That's a good thing to remember. As God has said, I will dwell in them. That's where God's dwelling tonight, inside you. And walk in them, and I will be their God. They shall be my people. Wherefore, now watch it. Look what it said here. Remember, no communion hath light with darkness. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Talk about things in the Old Testament, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord God Almighty. Amen. Let the light disperse the darkness. That's why I read my Bible. Because we live in a very dark world. But you know, God also divided. Let the light divide the darkness. God said there is supposed to be a division. You see, and I know what's going through your mind. You're saying, you mean I can't do this and I can't do that? No, I didn't say that. I didn't say isolate yourself. But does anybody see any difference in you or me? Really? Do they see anything about me that is godly at all? And I'm not going to lie to you. There are times I sit on my front porch and then I have to say no. Because I want to damage that car. That's deliberately laying on his horn. And it's just a horn, folks. And I'm just full of the devil sometimes. And I have to remind myself, you know, you're supposed to be a... Somebody said, well, you're a pastor. Forget all that. How about being a Christian? I was a Christian long before I was a pastor. Here's another one. If you go back into Genesis 1:5. So I tried to think about the man I spoke to, because that man said, how do you deal with the darkness? Brother Dean, how do you deal with the darkness? And I thought, well, Lord, I don't want to give him a flippant answer. So I really did think about it, got back to him, and tried to give him really something scriptural that he could grab a hold of. The darkness is not going to go away. Here's what I also know about churches. Let me tell you what I know about churches. Darkness walks into here, sits down on one of these rows, and does somebody a great deal of damage. Just one person of darkness. Now you might have had 300 people of light, but one person of darkness. But do you know what people are going to do? They're going to leave. Wait a minute. The place didn't damage you. That person damaged you. We say, yeah, but he should have known better. Yeah, he should have known better. He should have done that. But I'm not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm going to look around and say, because I can tell you in 40 years, I can give you a list. And I'm never going to do it, but I can give you a list and I can give you names of people that walked into this place deliberately and tried to damage it. Should be no reason. There's been murderers walk in here. There's been rapists walk in here. There's been some bad stuff walk in these doors. And you know what God did? God protected the place. Then there was some people that just had visions of grand. I had a man stand at that back right there, back right in front of those doors. And he got a mad thing going from El Sabaka, and just he wouldn't let it go, man. He would not let it go. And we talked to him, and Mel talked to him, and others talked to him. And I thought he walked in one morning, one Sunday morning, place is just full of God and just having a good time. I'm standing there in the back where I was supposed to be, and he walked in with a big smile on his face. And I thought, oh, glory to God, man, he's got his heart right. Thank you. Thank you, Father. I appreciate the answer in that prayer. Protecting your work. Protecting your pastor. Protecting just everybody. And he stands right beside me, and you know, he's kind of nudging me, and we're kind of, you know, goofing around a little bit while Dan's leading the music, and all of a sudden he looked, you know, Mel got in to do the announcements, and this guy looks at me, you know, he's standing there, and we're about the same height. He looks at me and he says. You see that guy up there? This is what he said to me. He said, you see that guy up there pointing to Mel Sabaka? He said, I'm going to do my dead level best to get him out of that pulpit. Oh, we're going to have a wonderful service this morning, aren't we? Now, I'm going to apologize to you because I didn't handle it godly. Because I said to him, I said, you see that window over there? Honest to God, that's what I said to him. And I don't say, I don't do these things. I really don't. I'm kind of mild-mannered. I really don't. You know, you don't bother me, I don't bother you. But I'll tell you what, I can get like a junkyard dog when it comes to this place. Just know it ahead of time. I called him by name. I said, you see that window right there? You make a move on Mel Sabaka, I'll throw you right through that window. And he was about twice my age at the time. You know, he's into his 50s at that time. I'm like, I'm only in my 20s, early 30s at the most. And it's like, wait a minute. I said it to my wife today. You know, it's the only business I know of where people come in here just to hurt things. I don't understand that. I don't go into my bank and put my money in there to hurt the bank. I don't go to ShopRite and do my shopping just to hurt ShopRite. Why come to church and just decide, because you know why? Because the devil's real. And darkness is real. Let the light divide the darkness. Here's another one. I got you back there in Genesis 1:5. Do you know that God gave the darkness a name? Yeah. God called the light day, notice the capital D, and the darkness he called night, capital N. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Let the light define the darkness. The light. Do you know how you can define the darkness in this world? You let the light. Let the light name it. Let the light name it. All right? God named the darkness and the light. Let me just give you a couple of them. Very quickly, go to John chapter 12. You know what your Bible will do for you? It will help you to name the darkness. Go to the Gospel of John and go to chapter 12. Now, I know we got some young Christians here, so if I'm moving too fast, you wave, you put your hand up and say, "Pastor, please slow down." Because I want you to see your Bible. It's very important that you see your Bible. You know what we don't like to do anymore? I was listening to I do a lot of channel surfing I really don't sit down and I watch TV, but I don't really watch it. Drives my wife crazy. I'll watch 2 minutes of this show and and then the commercials come on and it's like I hate them, and your channels. So I'm on this one channel, and it must have been a medical channel. And I don't know, this came to my mind, so let me use it. You know, we don't call things what they really are anymore. You know, years ago, when I was a kid growing up in the Midwest, nobody ever said, "Well, that man's an alcoholic." They said he was a drunk. That's kind of a rough word, okay. But we've kind of watered things down. And I'm listening. I don't mean anything by this, but they were talking about sexually transmitted diseases, STDs. Very common information, okay? Even years ago. Do you know they're not called sexually transmitted diseases anymore? They're called sexually transmitted viruses. Now, they don't use the term disease. It's not a disease. It's a virus. Well, I've had some viruses, and they weren't sexually transmitted, by the way. Okay? You know, I had shingles. They said that was a virus. But you see what we've done? We won't name things anymore. And we Christians, we want to dance with the devil in the pale moonlight, like Jack Nicholson and the Batman. We want to dance with the devil in the pale moonlight, and we don't want to name the darkness. You know, Jesus had a way of naming things. I got you in John chapter 12. Now, we're not talking about calling names. But sometimes we need to say what it is. If the darkness is darkness, you need to say that's darkness. If I can't get any light out of it, then it's probably darkness. Now, Jesus had one of his apostles named Judas Iscariot. Now, we know he was the devil incarnate there for a while. Satan entered into him. All right. Satan entered into him. I've got you John chapter 12. I want you to look at verse 6. Now, this is Mary taking a pound of ointment in verse number 3, and she wipes it on the feet of Jesus in 3 and wipes his feet with her hair. What a story. It's a great story. Verse number 4 says, "Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him." Jesus knew that. 5 says, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" Very socially minded Judas. I want you to notice in verse number 6 how that was addressed. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Jesus then says, "Let her alone." Jesus named a name. He saw the darkness, and in so many words there said, "You know, that man's a thief." How about John 8? I'll keep you in John. How about John 8:44? Now, we're not talking about name calling here. Don't misunderstand. We're not into name calling. But the point that was being made was, The light defined the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. Capital D, capital N. He gave it a name. And sometimes I think, and I don't say sometimes, I'm convinced after all these years that the reason people dance with the devil after they claim to have come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, there's two reasons for that. Number one, they never, I don't care how old you are or what family you come from, you either never came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, because I can tell you for sure, when you come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and start dancing with the devil, he's going to convict the snot out of you. He's going to convict you seven ways to Sunday. He's going to convict you. Or you are genuinely saved but have never, ever, ever touched the light. You won't read it. Because, and you know, I know why, I said this to Pastor Mike not too long ago. I said, we both know why people don't read their Bible. Because it's just too convicting. It's just too convicting. Look at John. Where do I have you? I had you, John chapter 8. Had John chapter 8. Look at we'll just read verse 44. Now, he's got the Pharisees here, and you know the Pharisees, they're always trying to be a step ahead of Jesus. They're the religious men of their day. All right. But in John chapter 8, verse 44, says, let me just read 42. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, ye would love me." Okay? "For I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word?" Look at 44 now. "Ye are of your father the devil." Holy moly. The Son of God just called some men the devil. Not average people. These were the religious rulers of the day. He also called them vipers. He also called them serpents. He also called them whited sepulchers. Now, that's not you and me, okay? These were the religious Pharisees, the religious rulers of the day, the uppity-uppities, who claimed to know more about God than anybody else and elevated themselves. Jesus said, "You are your father the devil." Oh, man. "And the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of her." Man alive. He called these men devils. "Ye are of your father, the devil." Hang with me now. Hang with me. Look at John. Go to John chapter 8. Go to John. I've got you in John chapter 8. Go to John chapter 8 and look at verse number 1. Gonna quit. I'm going to take you to John chapter 8 and now here's the light exposing some darkness. And he's not going to call this woman a name. He's not going to call her a devil. He's not going to call her a thief. But I want you to notice what he does. John chapter 8 and verse 1 says, "Jesus went up into the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him. He sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might decide that may I have to accuse him. Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not." Now we always stop here and say, "Well, I wonder what he wrote." Obviously, he's writing something from the law. Okay, probably something out of Leviticus 20 or Deuteronomy 22. "So when they continued in verse 7, asking him, he lifted up his voice," lifted up himself, excuse me, "and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. They which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. So, they've had part in this sin. Because the Bible says they were convicted in their own conscience. Might not have been with this woman, but somewhere, something convicted them. Went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last, and Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Now, watch what he says here, though. Now, he knows what the sin has been. But he tells her, in so many words, I just forgave you. I just forgave you. Don't make light of that. Go and sin no more. So this scenario probably was true, without a doubt. Jesus doesn't condemn her, but Jesus doesn't condone her actions either. What you find in the scriptures is Jesus is very plain when sin needs to be dealt with. When this whole thing, he called the darkness night. He gave it a name. And as I read my Bible, just the light disperses the darkness, the light divides the darkness, and the light defines the darkness. And if I'm going to have any success in my walk with Jesus Christ, I got to let this light reign supreme. Again, are we telling people what to do here? Absolutely not. But I know this book has the power, not only has the power to save, it has the power to cleanse. It has the power to change. All right. Enough of enough here. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. What do you do?